Meow, 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 meow,
meow,
meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, We are beaming liberty into your brain with microphones of anarchy. Regular host Michael Dean couldn't be with us tonight. He's auditioning for the lead role in a new Arnold Schwarzenegger biography. I'm Derek J. I'll be your host tonight. With me is the lovely Diana.
Yep, I'm here.
Hello, Diana.
Hello.
How are you feeling tonight? Your meowing is lovely, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling kind of sad.
Yeah. I'm a little sad too.
Yeah, I got the news about Robin Williams while I was taking a nap, and I woke up from my nap and saw that several people texted that Robin Williams had died, and kind of bummed me out.
Yeah, what was the first thing that shot through your mind as soon as you heard the news?
Just not Robin Williams, you know,
not like, him, right?
I know, yeah. But I knew that he had struggled with addictions and things like that in his past. But you know, you like to think that people, you know, can manage to overcome those things.
Yeah, is it too soon? Do we know what the cause of death was? Has that been confirmed at all?
They're saying it looks like suicide.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is very sad. For a funny guy who made a lot of people laugh and cry, for that matter, in his dramatic roles, my heart goes out to the survivors, his friends and family. You know, he touched my life. Did he touch yours? Were there any particular roles that you'll immortalize Robin Williams? That'll be your memory of him?
Well, you know, definitely Mork from Mork and Mindy.
Really?
Yeah,
I think that's going to be for a lot of people's. Why for you?
Well, because I used to as a child watch Happy Days, and Mork and Mindy was a spinoff from Happy Days.
What?
Okay, yeah.
I'm one of the people who doesn't know that. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. I can't imagine like Mork hanging out with like Potsy and Richie and like the Fonz and all that. But you're saying he did?
Yep, he sure did.
Oh,
I mean, it wasn't,
cool.
He wasn't on Happy Days for very long until, you know, before Mork and Mindy became a spinoff. But yeah, Mork shows up as an alien on Happy Days.
Is he like a time traveling alien too? Because wasn't Happy Days in like the 50s and then Mork and Mindy was like in the 70s? So
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. I guess they just excused that all away.
Oh, right. Yeah.
TV magic.
70s. comedy, so yeah, sitcoms.
Well, for me, I think the most memorable role of Robin Williams was that of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Because I was at the right age where that was like a kid movie, and he was a father figure in a female role as a nanny for these children, and I don't know. It was motherly and fatherly. It was just a lot of parental care, and he had a good knack for expressing that. That and Patch Adams, I think, is another
Patch
one.
Patch Adams,
where I'll remember him from.
What about Hook?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh wow, you're right. So you know, as tragic as it is to lose someone like Robin Williams, we're so lucky that he gave us so many gifts. That he was so prolific with his art. Michael Dean has a great quote about the artist who dies with the most art on people's hard drive wins.
Right.
And Robin Williams he's a contender in that race, I'd say. He's got plenty of work that people are going to be sharing.
Yeah.
Well, it reminded me of a joke from The Watchmen written by Alan Moore. I wanted to read because it's a tragedy for so many comedians. The people who make us laugh have this dark, unspoken depression, often, you know, beneath the veil. Jerry Seinfeld, in his documentary about stand-up comedy, interviews a host of comedians who all go through basically the same story of, like, you know, they were very depressed. They always wanted to make people laugh, so it would make them laugh. It would help them forget their troubles. And, like, yeah. I speculate that Robin Williams struggled with some of the same types of depression. And so the quote goes like this. I heard a joke once. Man goes to doctor. Says he's depressed. Life is harsh and cruel. Says he feels alone in a threatening world. Doctor says, treatment is simple. The great clown Pagliacci is in town. Go to see him. That should pick you up. Man bursts into tears. But doctor, he says, I am Pagliacci.
Yeah.
Good joke. Everybody laugh. Roll on snare drum. Curtains. And that's the quote from The Watchmen by Alan Moore. And I think that's the case for a lot of comedians. Very sad. But hey, you know, we've got a lot of great happy stuff to talk about tonight. We've got a human floating zoo.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool.
There's a new Banksy in Tehran, you know, the graffiti artist. Plus, a team of nerds may have taken control of an abandoned satellite in space from a seized McDonald's.
That's awesome.
It's a crazy, crazy world. And so we've got a lot of happy stuff to share. And about the floating zoo, I don't know if you looked at this yet, Diana, but there are some pictures. Yeah, there are some pictures of this floating zoo. Well, let's describe it. It's in Denmark, and it's the brainchild of this artist called Bjarke Ingels. Bjarke Ingels. And it's called
Bjarke Ingels.
Yeah, Bjarke Ingels. His Zootopia reverses the role of captor and captive to let animals roam free while humans are hidden from view. So this cage-free zoo puts humans in captivity. It's got a picture. It looks pretty weird, like a big inverted stadium, sort of like the Colosseum. And it's got a pool in the center, I guess, for the animals that need water. And then the animals are just sort of floating around there. And then there's this stream, like a log flume type thing at amusement parks where I guess people, you know, typically they ride tires down the, like, River of Dreams or whatever the different amusement parks call it. And
River of Dreams.
Yeah, whatever. And then, but the humans are in these little captivity bubbles that are like mirrors.
Yeah, they look like big old what do they call it? Those garden spheres, gazing spheres or something like that. That's what they look like. Big giant of those.
So Zootopia doesn't have enclosures, which makes me wonder, like, what's going to keep the animals there? Are they just feeding them so that makes them return? And shouldn't they not be feeding them if they're, like, exposed to the wild? It's just really confusing.
Yeah.
How this is going to work. But I guess Denmark, maybe they're into trying new things. Artist,
Denmark's cool.
Bjarke Ingels.
Bjarke Ingels.
He designed apartment blocks in the shape of mountains and a power station with a ski slope on the roof. So he's no stranger to odd buildings.
Yeah, architecture, yeah.
He's made museums that erupt from the ground with cartoonish glee, writes The Guardian. And proposed a viewing tower like a gigantic spiraling lollipop. How does the Danish government take this guy seriously? Are they like, oh, yes, Bjarke Ingels will design our new zoo.
I was just going to say, it says it's like a live Truman Show for animals.
Oh, I,
like,
love that.
Yeah, the Truman Show, yeah.
Except it's not enclosed. The Truman Show, he had
it,
like,
it was enclosed, you're right, yeah.
He had his own little walls for the sky and everything. I don't know, is that going to be the same for these animals? Are they going to just walk into the wall? It's just like there's some fake tree in their way.
Yeah.
Like a huge printout of a forest. Tragic. Okay, well, it says that the animals will be in a 300-acre stage in the wilderness in which roaming beasts should never know you are there. You're carefully concealed behind the scenes. So I guess that's part of their little bubble dome watcher things. But I have a hard time believing the animals won't just start to get used to people floating through their river. Like, hey, Bob, didn't you notice there's another one of those eggs floating through the river? That doesn't look right.
So people are actually floating down this river in these enclosed little bubbles as well.
That's the idea. That's
wow.
Yeah, they're floating down the river,
and the animals are just like, "Yeah, here comes another one."
Yeah, I mean, eventually they'll get used to it. You have to expect that they're just going to see this as part of their world. But then it's not even worth saying that. Oh, it's just like uninterrupted nature. I mean, you're totally disrupting nature here for humans to be able to get that close to be like paddling down the river as elephants are taking a drink from the fountain as it's depicted here.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea seems pretty cool, but I think the title is a little misleading. I mean, the animals are still in captivity and the humans can still come and go as they please, basically.
Oh, but it's very different from, well, yeah it's misleading, but it's totally different from any zoo I've ever been to.
This yeah, me too.
This is one that's more humane, I would say. And with the little reflective mirrors, maybe the animals just see themselves back or they're like, oh, there's another bear. You know, what do you know?
Floating down the river. Yeah.
That's normal.
That's normal. It's just like my dog. I have a new dog and she's the first dog I've had that actually looks at herself in the mirror.
Really? Dogs normally don't do that.
Yeah, she totally looks at herself in the mirror and I don't know what she's thinking. She doesn't act like she's seeing another dog.
Does she pause or bark or how do you know that she's looking at herself?
I can see that her eyes are directed toward her reflection in the mirror.
How do you know she's not making eye contact with some other dog or so she thinks? Like, well, oh, there's some other dog over there.
Well, typically when she does come in contact with other dogs, she tries to interact with them in some way, you know, like play bow or whatever. But
yeah,
she just kind of stares at the mirror and then she'll see me in the mirror. And I don't know what she's actually seeing. I mean, I'm not trying to make it seem like she's, you know, cognizant
or
has self-awareness or right. You know, but it is kind of funny. It's really cute. She's new and she's still very novel.
Did you get to name your dog?
No, she came with her name too. But it's Roxy.
Oh, okay. That's a great name.
Yeah, I love it.
Would you put Roxy in the zoo?
No.
Not even the anti-captivity zoo?
No.
She'd probably love it.
She'd probably be eaten by some leopard or something.
She might. We'll be careful of that. We'll watch out for Roxy.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
We forgot to give out the call-in number. We've opened up the phone lines tonight to have some fun, and we're going to give that number out for you. This is probably only a one-time thing. I think Michael's going to say, don't do this ever again. Here we go, 855-660-4261. Now we'll see what happens. You can call in. It is late. And we are broadcasting live. I'm from Keene in the Shire here in New Hampshire. From whence are you broadcasting, Diana?
I am broadcasting from a windowless bunker in Cary, North Carolina.
Wow. What did you call it earlier?
North Kakalaki.
Kakalaki. That's an interesting one. I had never heard of that. Yeah. It's wonderful.
I know. I don't know where it comes from. I've just heard it. There's like a hot sauce that's made in the area that's called Kakalaki sauce.
That sounds good. It sounds like a more appropriate name for a sauce than a steak.
Yeah. You know, we're kind of famous for barbecue down here.
So are you seeing the Perseid meteor shower?
Or the supermoon
or the shooting stars?
There's shooting stars tonight, too. Oh, my God. I'm missing everything.
Oh, yeah. We're bringing the people the shooting star broadcasts.
Yeah.
You know, they can sit out and watch the beautiful stars fall. but apparently people are having a hard time seeing this because of the supermoon, which is happening at the same time. So it's a real conflict.
They're competing. They're competing with each other.
Yeah. Both drama queens.
I know.
Always trying to steal the show. Supermoon and the Perseid shower. Although the Perseid meteor shower, I had never really heard of before, but apparently this is a big thing in the sky watchers community. Do you watch the sky?
I'm very much an armchair astronomer.
Really?
Yeah, I have a really cool app on my phone. It's called Skywalk.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And if you and basically the way it works is that wherever you sort of position it, you can hold when you start the app and you hold your phone up, like, you know, anywhere you hold it, it will show like whatever constellations are in front of you.
That is so magic.
I know. I love it.
What another level. I mean, we really are living in the future. If you have an app that does that, mm-hmm. it is so cool. I mean, I've seen that before, but mm-hmm. it still blows my mind.
Yeah. You can even see like what constellations are below the horizon, or even like what constellations are people in the southern hemisphere seeing.
Oh, so you can like move it down towards the earth. It doesn't need to be up in the sky, but it's like, oh, here you are.
Yeah.
Wow, that is so cool. Well, you don't need to go out and look at the sky. If you have a cool app like that, you can just sit in your room.
Right.
You could be in jail and still see all the beautiful stars.
Yeah, I never have to go outside again.
Whoopee.
No, I love outside.
Yeah,
love
you're outside. An outdoors person.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of both. I'm a nice mixture of city and country, I think.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the city a lot, but I also love being outside.
Well, it's obvious. Everyone loves the country for its beauty. What do you like about the city?
I love people. I just love going to recently, I'd never been to San Francisco before, mm-hmm. and I have an aunt that lives there, and I went with Christian. He was on a business trip, and I was just there for the weekend. I need to go and spend much longer there.
Yeah, totally.
But I don't know if you've ever been to San Francisco before.
Yes, I have.
It's wonderful. So cool. I love it so much. And, you know, the people are just quirky and nobody cares. And they're like, you know, I mean, I feel like I could live in a city like that and really just, you know, not that I don't feel like I can be myself, but you know what? I live in Cary, North Carolina.
There's a chill vibe there, man.
There's a totally chill vibe in San Francisco.
Yeah.
New York is completely... It's still just as weird, which I love, but it's the vibe is like completely opposite. It's like much more frenetic and, you know, like just, you know, people are always on a mission of some sort in New York.
I saw a cartoon yesterday that illustrated that point well, I think. So it was a comic panel of two slides, and one was two men in suits. The one man says to the other man in a suit, "Johnson, you're looking dapper. Like, I'm going to give you a raise." And that was in New York. And then it said, like, wearing a suit on the West Coast. And it was just one guy in a suit and the other one, like, in jeans or something. And he was pointing at him, like, "Aha, like, what do you work at JCPenney?" Because it's a laid back attitude there. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's another country. I don't know why California and North Carolina are even united under the same banner.
Yeah.
They are totally different.
Completely different. Yeah, I know the cartoon you're talking about. It's the oatmeal. I love the oatmeal so much. I love the oatmeal.
Wow. Well, you know, there's a new Banksy in Tehran.
Like
Banksy, like the graffiti artist.
Yeah.
I want to get into that when the fiends return from our trip to the free market.
Worms.
Say worms.
Worms.
Worms. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Worms.
Worms.
Dirk, Jay, and Diana bringing you the Freedom Fiends tonight. Hey, we got a weird story out of Tehran. Have you heard of Tehran? It's not a place I really think about much, but there's a guy there now who's calling himself the Banksy of Tehran. You know who Banksy is?
I do indeed.
Yeah. Well, like, he's, I don't know what sort of circles he runs in or how famous he is. I have no perception of that, but I like his work. He's like a graffiti artist, I guess, from the UK, and he moved over to New York recently, and he's been doing work like graffiti art every day and blogging about it over in Brooklyn, and that's pretty cool to see. But now there's a new guy, the Banksy of Tehran, and his name is Black Hand. This from TheVerge.com. The graffiti artist is inspired by Banksy's legendary stenciling technique, and he's been adorning the streets of Tehran with playful political messages. As you might expect, his work is often scrubbed from walls just hours after it's put up, but fans have captured his work on an unofficial Facebook page. Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. It's like liberty. People just want freedom, and they want liberty. And so, you know, it's like any way that they can get at it, I think they're going to do it.
Well, yeah, it's cool because I presume there have always been these like glimpses of liberty, like these artists like this Black Hand guy or Banksy himself. And they're like squashed, you know, throughout history, these freedom fighters or not fighters. I don't like that term because it's like terrorists, but these peaceful artists who are propagandists for freedom are squashed. And that just isn't possible with things like Facebook and cell phone cameras. So that's like pretty cool because even though this stuff gets washed away, everyone in the world still gets to see it. We have a permanent copy that's instantly replicatable forever.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. It's awesome. Thank God for the internet.
Yeah, it just can't be scrubbed off. I mean, it could be scrubbed off the walls, but it can't be scrubbed off the internet.
That's right.
So one of his more iconic works depicts a woman wearing the country's national soccer jersey, hoisting up a bottle of dish soap as if it were a trophy. Which is a weird image for me to see, like, as an American, I have no idea what this image means, but somehow it's symbolic to him because, among other restrictions on women's rights, the state bars women from attending soccer matches, which I had no idea, of course.
Yeah.
But in an interview with The Guardian, Black Hand explained the purpose of his work thusly. He says, quote, "I work on the issues that are happening in my country. We wake up with them, we live with them, and we sleep with them. Art aside, being able to express these issues by itself can help you find peace." Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, I think even as small a thing, and it's really not even that small a thing because it's now worldwide, you know, it's now anybody can pull this up, this article up and see what he's doing. So it's not that small, but it's something that helps him to feel like he is actually contributing and doing something.
Yeah, it's not small.
To further the cause of liberty, yeah.
It does. I mean, art affects people and changes things. If art didn't change things, it wouldn't be illegal, like what he's doing here. you know, art on walls, you know, it may, to make a political statement is a real culture shock. I think the establishment, whoever, you know, the man, the man wants things to stay the same. The man wants the status quo. Don't ask questions. Don't challenge authority. And that's what these images do, with a man stenciled in, painting a rainbow on a graffitied wall. And then the woman with her hijab and white face, wearing the national soccer jersey, holding up dish soap. What do you think the dish soap is about? Is it a symbolism about, like, cleaning their culture or something?
I don't.
She's got gloves on, like she's washing dishes or something.
What kind of came to me is that, you know, the kind of the expectation of the roles of women, and you know, my understanding of the culture in the Middle East is that, you know, women is that they're very role oriented over there. You know, it's like not, and not that we're not here, you know, there are degrees of it, but I think that they're the degree of their kind of, I can't think of like what the term is, but, you know, following the roles that have sort of been set for us, or the societal expectations of what those roles are, is more prominent in Middle Eastern countries than it is here. And so women are expected, I think, to, you know, do the cleaning and the washing of dishes, and certainly not attending soccer matches. Yeah.
Are there any places, like, so there are lots of places I can think of that have, that women have it pretty bad. Are there places where women have it comparatively better than men?
Better?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I would imagine that that places in Western Europe, that they're a lot, they're probably much more progressive.
Yeah.
They're,
like,
you know, especially like Scandinavia.
Equality, right? We want to be all treated as equals, but I have to imagine if there exists places where men have more freedom, then there must be places where men have less freedom, right? I would think. No, it's not necessarily so, but I just wonder what those places might be.
Yeah,
I'm thinking the U.S. Like, what if that's the U.S.? I always hear about family court, where, like, no matter what, the guy is always wrong. Custody battles and marriage stuff. I've never been married, never had a kid, so I can't speak from experience on that, but I do live in a place where a man self-immolated in front of the family court building. In protest of their corruption. And I don't think that's the only one. I mean, this is like a story I hear from around the country. So, I mean, is that your reaction where you are in North Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally speaking, in this country anyway, that when there is a divorce and there are minor children, that the minor children tend to stay with the mother and the father has visitation rights. Although now it seems that it's more prevalent that there's actually joint custody, but it's typically more the woman that gets the custody, and their joint custody than the man actually get, or the father actually get full custody with the woman having visitation rights.
Custody is such a weird word. It's always used in like in a not
it's a legal
nice
term.
Way.
I know.
It's never
like I
nice.
Own my children. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we? Is there some friendly anarchist word that could be used instead of custody for, like, to take care of a child or something? Like, I don't know what would the friendly word be.
A friendly word would be,
because that's
I
what
think,
the state calls it. Like, we took protective custody of the drunk man. We saw that he was drunk, so we took custody of him and threw him in a cell until he sobered up. Like, that's a bad word.
What about I like guardianship.
Ooh,
sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in a sentence, the parents squabbled over who would take guardianship of the child. That is much better than custody. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I do, you know, I mean, although I want my child to be sovereign and I want my child to be their own person, but at the same time, my child needs to be, you know, taken care of, basically. You know, my child needs, you know, until my child is able to care for him or herself, you know, that child most likely needs someone like me, a guardian, to take care of him or her. So,
do you want a child?
I have one.
Oh, my goodness. Whoops. Yeah. I misheard you. I was like, there's no way you have a child. So, okay. But
you didn't hear me last night talk about being 48 and my daughter is like grown up and out of the house.
No, totally missed that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. I just find that so hard to believe. Anyway, that's weird. So I don't know. You have a lot of lessons to impart. Tell me a lesson about motherhood that you never would have known had you not been a mother.
Wow.
There must be a bajillion. I mean,
that's interesting because I just had a conversation with my daughter on Sunday about, you know, because her dad and I are going through a divorce and, it's probably for the best, but it's been rough on her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like one of the lessons that I think I've learned and is that no matter how old your child gets, they're still your child.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard parents say that.
Yeah. And you know, because I thought that I was, you know, there were times before when my daughter was you know, still young that I considered divorce, but I didn't want, you know, wanted her to have a stable home and because my parents divorced when I was 13 and it was really rough on me.
Yes. It can be one of the most damaging things for a child. So you were 13. How old was your daughter when you were considering the divorce?
Oh, she was almost graduated from college at that point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she was already
out of the house then.
Yeah, she was already out of the house, and I thought, you know, she's an adult; she can handle this. This is going to be fine. You know,
it was still hard on her.
It was still very hard on her, and I feel like I didn't pay close enough attention to that.
Oh wow!
And that was a lesson that I learned the other day, really, from her, is that, you know, that she just kind of felt very similar to how I felt probably when I was 13, not to the same degree, but you know, she sort of just felt like she was an afterthought and that meant, you know, yeah. And I'm really glad that she felt like she could tell me that. And of course I feel bad about it and I wish I'd handled it differently, but you know what? And the other thing I've learned too is that, you know, as a parent, like I used to think my parents suck. I used to think that, you know, when I was much younger.
Every kid thinks that.
But when you become a parent, and maybe not even necessarily when you become a parent, but when you grow up and you mature, you start to realize that your parents are human.
Yeah. And, isn't that a trip?
Yeah, like, it really is.
They're not gods. They're humans.
No,
they can make mistakes.
They can make mistakes. They can make some pretty heinous mistakes too, you know, and it's like, but they're still human. You know, I did the very best I could with what I had. Nobody gives you a manual. You know, you pretty much have to wing it. And you know, it's like one size does not fit all with your kids. And I only had one. And that was challenging enough.
Well, maybe you can write the manual now and save all the future parents.
I would have a few things to say.
Learning about motherhood on the Fiends.
It's like, be humble for one thing.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Freedom Fiends!
Yeah.
Welcome back. Hey, Diana, we should do something fun.
Okay.
Like, take a call.
Okay.
Let's take a call. We shouldn't do this, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to take a call from Iran. All the way from Iran. We got an international caller. Let's do this. Caller from cyberspace, you are on Freedom Fiends. Go ahead with your thoughts. I don't know. Not hearing anything, so we're going to have to just not use that today. But we gave it a shot, Diana.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I heard somebody, but it was very, very faint.
Yes, I thought I heard somebody too, but it was very faint. So since we don't know what we're doing behind the boards, we'll just keep it rolling along with an interesting story about what's happening with a team of nerds who somehow took control of a McDonald's. And they're using that McDonald's to reposition a satellite? This is a weird story. Have you read this one over at betabeat.com?
Yes.
It says, for the first time in history, an independent crew is taking control of a NASA satellite and running a crowdfunded mission. They're doing it all from a makeshift mission control center in an abandoned McDonald's in Mountain View, California, using old radio parts from eBay and a salvaged flat screen TV.
That's crazy.
This is crazy. I mean, truth is stranger than fiction sometimes.
For sure.
If I could come up with another absurd detail, I would, said Keith Cowing, the project's team lead. The ISEE-3 is a disco-era satellite.
I wonder if it looks like a mirrored, you know, disco ball.
Oh, that was probably the trend back disco at NASA era. At the time. Actually, yeah. It does. Some of these pictures, it looks kind of like a disco ball. And it was disco era. Maybe it's also made of polyester. It's a disco era satellite that's used to measure space weather, like solar wind and radiation. But it went out of commission decades ago. Now, a small team led by Mr. Cowing has taken control of the satellite with NASA's silent blessing.
Interesting.
Isn't it? Mr. Cowing is a former NASA employee and now runs a handful of space news sites like NASA Watch and Space Ref. Sitting out in the desert one night after a documentary shoot, Mr. Cowing asked Bob Farquhar...
I think it's Farquhar.
Farquhar. An old NASA researcher who worked with the ISEE-3 in its glory days, what it would take to bring the satellite out of retirement. The satellite's battery has been dead for over 20 years, but it had solar panels to power 98% of the satellite's full capacities. In its heyday, it ran missions around the moon and Earth and flew through the tail of a comet.
Oh, that's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. I'm surprised it's still around after flying through the tail of a comet.
Right.
But technology gets old, and everyone happily let the successful satellite go, knowing it would be back in Earth's orbit someday, namely 2014. Since the satellite went offline, the team had retired, the documentation was lost, and the equipment became outdated. They could still hear the satellite out there, talking. But they'd need to build the equipment to talk back. Wow, that is so cool. So there's this old satellite out there that's still working based on solar panels, and they're able to communicate with it, or they're trying to communicate with it. That is so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
The satellite had been built for longevity with very simple technology, and to get it back would simply be like trying to make concrete with the original Roman recipe. In other words,
They'd
need a few outdated parts, but it can be done.
Yay.
So let's hope they can do it. I'm cheering on this team.
I love stories like this.
Do you think they're eating the old fries behind the old fryer in McDonald's?
They probably still taste the same.
Yeah, nasty scientists eating old burgers in their McDonald's lair. Building old satellites. A bunch of weird nerds. Hey, we got more weird stories coming up for you. And maybe we'll even get the phone lines worked out. That would be fun.
Yeah.
All right, Diana.
Yeah,
worms. Meow.
Meow.
Meow. Worms.
Yeah. 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 Meow, 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 meow. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
The hour on the Freedom Fiends, here to tase you with liberty. And we've got a lot of interesting stories. It's a weird night. We've got poor Robin Williams, who we're mourning, of course, Banksy in Tehran. A filmmaker crosses the border dressed as Osama bin Laden. Still going to get to that story.
Good old James O'Keefe.
Yeah, and if that wasn't enough, there's a team of nerdy ex-NASA scientists who have hijacked a McDonald's restaurant and are using it to plot their escape to space. No, I don't know if they're really escaping, but they're going to build a satellite to communicate with space, and that's pretty cool. It's one of those weird things that tells us we're living in the future.
Except we don't have flying cars, and I really do think that that will be the only thing that will tell us that we're truly living in the future.
Soon. Flying cars.
Yeah.
Hang in there. I think we're pretty close. Yeah. Aren't you? Don't you think
I talked about a story on one show a couple of months ago where an actual affordable flying car has been developed. It's still in the beta stages, but so that could be very interesting.
Hey, we had a recommendation for a word other than guardianship. Earlier in the last hour, we talked about what's a polite word for custody. Instead of saying, I have custody of my child, which sounds like a scary authoritarian word.
Mm-hmm.
What would be more appropriate? Well, one listener in the chat room said stewardship.
Stewardship, yeah. I was trying to think of that word.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
So we did something unusual tonight, Diana. We opened up the phone lines.
Yeah.
We don't normally do that on the Fiends, but hey, it should be expected. A couple of anarchists are just going to change the rules on everybody.
Well, hey, authority.
Yeah, we'll make it our show. Now, you can call in, take control, share whatever's on the hamster in your brain at 855-660-4261. We go first to Van Dam. Van Dam, you are on Freedom Fiends. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Good morning, D&D.
Good morning. That's us.
You guessed my name.
Yeah. Well, what's going on?
Meow. Meow. Why?
Meow.
Matt Quip, this is how the old TV station is over the term. Am I in book this up?
That's that.
I never think about the old Meow Mix commercial.
No, I never think about that.
Is that what
you
sound like?
Yeah, now we're giving away free promos for Meow Mix.
But now I expect you to, Derek J, because Diana and I are old enough to remember those quotes.
Did I not mention that your network is all one show to me?
Fiend drone.
Fiend drone.
And we'll just move on to the next caller who wants to talk about the meteor shower. That's something that we have brought up on this show. So, Skeeter in Montana, go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, your show's great, man. I really like it. You guys are good.
Hey, thanks, Skeeter.
Skeeter, what's up?
The Perseids meteor shower, and I got some weaponized LSD that I think the last caller guy got in Arizona from Dick Cheney's handmaiden, and it was something left over from the Operation Desert Storm. It was like this LSD analog that makes you gay. I heard about
what?
It. They talked about it on
That's
Rock,
impossible.
But
that can't happen.
No, but Michael Dean's up here with us, too, and he tweeted that the aliens finally heard the Freedom Fiends' first broadcast from a year and a half ago with Nima Vedati.
What?
And they said, well, there's finally intelligent life on this planet, so they're going to come tonight, riding a shower, and we're supposed to all take this weaponized LSD that we got from Witt and Dick Cheney, and
no.
then we can leave and go to LibPair in Alpha Centauri.
Well,
like a really,
thank
really
you for
plan.
Your call tonight,
that.
Skeeter. Yeah. We're going to watch the meteor shower with you later on. Really appreciate the calls. Isn't it great having an open phone show, Diana? Sometimes you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and like I'm one of these people. I'm actually a very patient, tolerant, nice person.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to let someone kind of keep talking because I want to know what their point is, but then they keep not getting to the point.
Right. Sometimes
and
there's
I'm
no
like,
point.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, and then mentioning Saddam Hussein, I'm like, okay, so when did we talk about Saddam Hussein in this show? I don't remember talking about him, so.
Yeah, that was really strange out of nowhere, but you know, that's what happens sometimes when you put a phone number out there and say, call in.
That's fine. Yeah, but, and you know, one of the things that I like to think is I used to listen to that old, the Art Bell, Coast to Coast AM.
Oh,
they used to come on really, really late at night. I used to lay there and listen to that, and I loved it, and I'm thinking that probably a lot of people that used to listen to that probably listen to our show.
That's probably it. Oh, you figured it out. Or maybe it's some of the scientists over at the McDonald's who are listening in, trying to connect with the aliens out in space using their new satellite, their new old satellite.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty weird. Well, they are out there in Mountain View, California. This is just an unbelievable story. Mm-hmm. And so they started a crowdfunding campaign, just to go back to it, that would beat its $125,000 goal, go on to raise way more than that, tens of thousands more, and they now have a small team in Puerto Rico. They're running tests, a transmitter with a helicopter, and they're ready to make contact with aliens. Or no, just their satellite.
Yeah. Oh, I like aliens, too.
We all want to talk to the aliens. Maybe they'll call in.
I think they already have.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Meow, 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 meow. And we are back with the Freedom Fiends. This is Diana Kyler. My co-host is Derek J.
Hey.
Derek, are you there?
Yeah, good to be with you, Diana. Meow.
Meow.
Thanks for meowing along with me here on the Fiends. You know, they've finally done it. They've seized a McDonald's and they're building satellites. We tried to stop them.
They.
Yep. Tried to stop the NASA scientists, but they crawled out of retirement to tinker with more toys. And I don't know. I just think that's a funny, crazy story. We could go on and on about that, but really, I've lost interest. It's a bunch of nerds, and they're doing something pretty cool. They've got a Google Hangout, and you can watch them talk nerd stuff at each other.
Talk nerd stuff.
Yeah. And no, this is a real thing. Like, the ISEE3, I know it sounds like technical, but when
it's disco era.
Yeah, it is disco era. Well, when I was living in Philadelphia, I was part of the Philadelphia Astronomical Society.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. We got to look up at the sky and look through telescopes and learn about what stars and planets were in line and stuff like that. And they mentioned, that was one of the things that the really smart scientists would mention a lot, was the ISEE3. So, I don't know what it is, but it seems to be pretty useful in telling us what's going on in space. So, that's all we know. Scientists are trying to communicate with that.
So, did you have a telescope when you were a kid?
No, I always wanted one. All the rich kids had a telescope.
All the rich kids. Aw, I had a telescope.
Oh, but you probably had a pony rich too. Kid.
Well, I mean, the main reason I think all kids got telescopes back in at the time that that my family first got one, and it had to do with the Apollo moon landing in 1969.
So Galileo gave you your first telescope.
So not long after that, So not long after that, my dad bought a telescope and we used to go out in the back and look at the moon.
Oh,
it's nice. It was fun. Yeah.
Does it look different? People tell me skies don't look the same as when I was a kid.
Nowadays, does it look different?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's the same sky. And
I remember it was a really cool thing was that when we would look at the moon, you know, the moon moves, obviously. And, as you're looking at it through the telescope, you can actually see it start to move out of, you know, the eyesight of your telescope. So you have to keep moving your telescope to keep it trained on the moon.
Right. Yeah, that was hard to do. We have super powerful telescopes over at the Philadelphia Astronomical Society. But
you got to look at like these really big fancy telescopes.
Yeah, yeah. We were on we were on top of like skyscrapers, and there's like telescopes on top of those. The trouble is though that it's really hard to see through the clouds.
Yeah.
So we have another caller on the line, and I'd like to add his voice to this conversation. What do you say?
Sure.
Nathan from Texas, you are on the Freedom Fiends. Give it to us.
Worms.
What you got, brother?
I actually thought of guardianship right when you said it, but I didn't get to say it. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you get points for that then. Thanks for calling in. Okay. Points for Nathan.
We found a better word at stewardship.
Yeah,
that's
so
a better word.
You lose, actually. Points are revoked. So, okay. Now that your word is no good, what you got? Anything else to offer us?
Well, I wanted to comment on the conversation. Oh, by the way, that's the one thing I agree with James about. LRN is kind of like one huge show. So,
hey, you keep that to yourself, mister. These are all different shows. They breathe their own realities and they have their own lives. Every show is special.
Yeah, I feel like the Freedom Fiends is unique.
It really is.
Yeah, I really do feel like that we're unique, and I'm not saying that all the other ones are the same. I don't think that for sure, but I don't know. I think we're just kind of quirky. We're quirky even as far as the liberty movement goes.
Ain't no show like the Fiends.
That's right.
So, Nathan, is that all you want to say, that James is right about LRN and that you've got guardianship for us? Do you have kids?
Well, speaking of that, I wanted to talk to Diana about the thing that you were saying earlier, that your daughter's sort of still your daughter after all this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I know that, but I mean, in terms of like that, she still needs my motherhood. She still needs me to be a mother, and she still needs my emotional support. You know, and I knew that.
You want to make a point about that, Nathan?
Yeah, that's I kind of.
All right, hold that thought. We'll let you make your point. Because I feel that way too, Diana. Mm-hmm. You know. It was one of those things about becoming an adult, realizing that mom is always going to be mom.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to The Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
We're back into your brain.
Ants in the house.
Hacking into your brain with liberty. But respecting property rights the whole time.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, Diana, we were talking about motherhood, parenthood.
Yeah, we got on that subject again.
Yeah, and I think that's one that everyone can relate to. We all have parents at some point, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the things that was weird for me becoming an adult is when I became 18 and like moved out of the house, I sort of felt like, okay, like I don't need, this is, sounds awful to say, but I was like, okay, I don't need parents anymore. You know, like I'm going to do this on my own and forget the parents. But then, you know, there's always...
I think that's really normal when you are out of that, when you finally fly the nest.
Yeah.
You know, that you're... I think that that's a natural progression, that that's the way you're supposed to be. You know, yeah. You're supposed to be like, I'm out of here. You know, I don't...
It's
whatever,
so weird,
you know?
Though, because you're like, these people... Who are these people who've been keeping me in their house for 18 years? Like... A prisoner. And then, you know, you finally escape and then you like need things like, well, anyway, let's let Nathan.
Then you need things like my laundry done. Yeah. Money.
Hey, mom, I'm here and I've got a bunch of laundry and some bills. Let's work on that. So, hey, Nathan, you are back on Freedom Fiends. You had some thoughts you wanted to share on this topic. Go ahead.
Well, after 18 years, you escape from their custody and you have to be your own person. So last week, Diana and Michael were talking about her parents and then her kids and stuff, and he brought up a perspective that I think is really valuable and I agree with, which is that there's your family of origin, and then there's the family that you choose for yourself. It's kind of like how the Native Americans have this culture where, like, there's a name you get when you're born, and then there's, like, the name that you're known by or that you pick for yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe it's easier for Michael to have that perspective because, you know, he's never, like you said, his parents were 40 when they had him, and he's sort of like his sister was in college and like, who are all these people? But apparently they still expect to call him and tell him what to do, which is interesting. But I think in your own life you've lived these values because you talked about how you're not only are you getting a divorce based on your own reasons, but you also kind of told your mother that you couldn't really be around her or that she couldn't be around your daughter or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. I had to do that. It was to protect my daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. And it was a very, very hard decision to make.
What a big
move. It was not easy at all. And unfortunately my mom, I understand why she did not understand why I had to make that move. I tried to, you know, and it wasn't her so much as, my grandfather lived with her and I didn't trust him. And she didn't really understand why I didn't trust him. And even though I tried to explain it to her, she just couldn't hear it. And
was it instinctual stuff or was there like things that had happened that you were like, oh, okay. So it wasn't instinctual.
Things that had happened nothing that had happened to my daughter yet, but I didn't want anything to happen to her.
You were being a protective mom. You're doing your job.
And I tried to make my mom understand that, by saying, well, how would you have been if it had been me?
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, she just couldn't see it. It's like,
really? She couldn't put herself in your shoes, even though she was your mom?
No. Yeah. And, you know, my mom.
Do you think that's just a blind spot that like any parent would have? Or is it just like your mom in particular who just can't see this?
I think it's a people thing. I think it's a human thing. I think all humans have blind spots.
Yeah.
You know, I think most people I run across, you know, lack a certain level of self-awareness. And I'm not saying I'm like uber self-aware or anything like that, but I really strive for that. And I think that most people that we run across on a daily basis lack self-awareness, that they think that they're just kind of like floating along in life and that life just happens to them. And, you know, and that they don't have, you know, necessarily have responsibility in what happens to them. And, you know, my mom was kind of like that. And I don't, you know, she's deceased. And I don't want to speak ill of the dead, and I still love her, but she had a lot of problems. I mean, she just really did. She had some mental health issues. So,
Mullins on his show, he talks a lot about this kind of thing, and he takes a more kind of hard line on this. I mean, he'll say he has this term defooing, like going away from your
attention. Stefan Molyneux, right? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But he says you have to turn what?
Well, he has this term called defooing, which means to separate yourself from your family.
Defooing.
Separating yourself from your family of origin. Have you done that, Diana?
Oh, no.
And I want to thank you. Have you done that, Nathan?
No, I haven't. But I really understand people who do, because if you are in a destructive relationship or you're in a situation where your needs aren't being served or you're being coerced or, you know, whatever, if you think that relationship is destructive and negative in your life, and I definitely think you should end that.
Worms, yes. Thank you for your call, Nathan. What a great point. And that doesn't just go for family. I would say that goes for friends, like double. If you're hanging around people who bring you down or who are abusive in that relationship, get out.
Yeah, have you ever read Michael's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience?
No, but that is on my to-read list. You brought up how there's no manual for raising children, but that might be one, right?
He definitely, I mean, I haven't finished reading it entirely, but...
Womp, womp.
Blomp, blomp. Yeah. But I mean, everything that I've read in that book is like, oh yeah, that's exactly how I feel. And, you know, and it does, he does talk about he uses terms for people that are unhealthy presence in your life.
Okay.
And like, weenies is one, soul mosquitoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can sort of picture with each of these.
Yeah, a soul mosquito.
Types
a soul mosquito is worse than a weenie.
Yeah, clearly.
You know? And so you definitely kind of want to try to avoid soul mosquitoes. Weenies, you know, you just have to set good boundaries with.
Right. And limit the weenies.
Yeah, limit the weenies. Yeah. So.
Speaking of weenies, how about this? How about this filmmaker who crossed?
Speaking of weenies.
Well, this guy, trouble. You know, he's a conservative activist, and not that that's a bad thing, but his message is a little off, I'll say. Mm-hmm. So
this
guy, James O'Keefe, he's a filmmaker, and my heart goes out to filmmakers. You know, why shouldn't they do something cool and interesting? Oh, wait a minute. Hey, we're getting a call from Michael Dean at the moment. Should we take it? All right. Michael Dean, you're on Freedom Fiends.
How's your brain, Darren?
Oh, no. We should really stop taking calls. I don't know about this.
I'm up here listening, watching the Perseids meteor shower. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that meteor shower. My bunker doesn't have any windows.
No. Well, you know, it's sort of a situation of like... You get up here with Witt and with Dick Cheney, and he gives you these pills.
And the pills what is happening? You're in my brain. Diana, make it stop. There we go. Diana, I think we're safe now. That was a scary call. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't even hear you and get help.
Yeah, I was put on hold for some reason. What happened?
Well, we just had an unusual caller who pretended to be Michael Dean, but it couldn't have been Michael himself because he sounded like he was speaking through some sort of space station. And I'm trying to tell the good people about this filmmaker, this troublemaker, who crossed the U.S.-Mexican border twice and made a video while doing it dressed as Osama bin Laden. This actually happened.
Mm-hmm. I see a picture. He's got a Osama bin Laden mask on, and yeah.
So he's saying that the border is a joke, mm-hmm. and he's right because borders are just imaginary lines. But what he wants is more government,
mm-hmm.
like more fences, more protection. This is ridiculous that he's complaining as a conservative that he doesn't see enough government action. Like, I want more government. Strike you as odd?
Yeah, I mean, and actually, you know, because I've gone both directions politically. I've been very liberal and I've been very conservative, and it really, having experienced both of those ways of looking at the world, it really does kind of boil down to, I want government to do what, you know, to protect me or to do the things, you know, to address the issues that I want to have addressed. You know, so it's like, I want more government to do this if I'm a conservative, and I want more government to do that if I'm a liberal. So it's really no difference. It's just more government, period.
Well, yeah, that was something that was strange to me because, you know, when I learned about conservatism or the Republican Party, it was always like limited government, small government. Mm-hmm. And border patrol agents don't sound like small government to me. That sounds like a big useless job, putting people standing on pieces of earth with guns to do what? To keep children from having more opportunity? It just sounds ridiculous that this young filmmaker would take time to expose holes in the border and not just say, hey, kids, come on this way. Like, let me help you out. Instead of being the good Samaritan that he has the opportunity to be, he's going to say, put more guns here. Put more barbed wire here. Put more cages here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the wrong message to be sending, isn't it?
I think so.
One other weird thing about this incident is that he says, I don't know the laws in Mexico and I don't care. So here he is like, oh, the laws in the U.S. should matter. These kids crossing from Mexico to the U.S., they should know all the laws here. But me, an American going down to Mexico illegally, mind you, you know, without informing the border patrol agents and then crossing back illegally. Well, it doesn't matter if he doesn't know the laws. He doesn't care. it's pretty
ironic.
Revealing, you know, the mentality there.
Right. Yeah.
He says, I don't see a single federal officer anywhere. I mean, when is that ever a complaint?
I know. Isn't that a good thing?
No walls, no guns, no people. Totally peaceful, quiet, and serene. Something's wrong here. This is too weird. Truth is stranger than fiction sometimes, isn't it, Diana?
It really is.
Yep, well, that happened in Texas. Lots of weird things happen in Texas. Worms.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Well, this is going to do it, Diana. We're going to have to close this one out.
It's gone by really fast again.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those special episodes where mayhem ensues and then it's over. But
mayhem is fun.
Talked about a lot of great stuff. The human floating zoo was a lot of fun. I'm still not sure if that's going to be a real thing or not.
Yeah.
I want to see that happen. Bjorky Dorky, go do it for us. That was his name. And Banksy of Tehran. Can't wait to go visit Tehran and go see his rainbow graffiti.
Yeah. So you're planning a trip to Tehran, are you?
Well, you know, I like to support peace artists. Like this Black Hand. What a weird name to choose, too. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the, like, rebel group that allegedly started World War I with the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand?
You're right. I was wondering where I had remembered that from. I think
from
it is
US
that.
U.S. History 1 is where you remember that from. Dig deep into that brain. Well, yeah, that's, I don't know. That's just the folk tale I heard. You know, it's tales about World War I are about as relevant to me as tales from Homer, like the Iliad and the Odyssey. Like, I have no idea if the stuff I learned in government school is remotely true, but I learned the fairy tales pretty well. I mean, or the folklore tales.
Right.
They might be true.
I think they probably told parts of the truth and then just conveniently left out probably the most important parts.
What do they say, that the victors write the history books?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I'm skeptical. My culture, or the culture, the area of the earth on which I was born, you know, they have a lot of liars and scoundrels who have won victories against other humans, and they wrote history books that
That's
are filled
right.
with lies.
So where were you born? You were born in Philadelphia, or
yes.
where?
Yeah. And I lived in that area for most of my life, went to school in the Boston area, so I've always been around here. But I was heavily influenced by Henry David Thoreau, because...
Oh, I love Thoreau.
Yeah, don't we all? Mm-hmm. He wrote a book called Walden, and I went to school just a walking distance from Walden Pond.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, in a place called Waltham, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And... Yeah, he talks about not just civil disobedience, which is like some of his other most popular writings, but he lived out independently in a shack in the woods and just wrote about freedom, grew food, lived a simple life. And I feel like he like broke out of the slavery mindset. Like, I think there was even slavery at the time when he was writing, like actual bondage of human slavery.
Absolutely.
And,
was.
You know, he was able to see more like metaphorical levels of slavery. Like, he refused to pay the poll tax and went to jail for it. And was asked by his friend Ralph Waldo Emerson when he came to bail him out. Emerson said, "What are you doing behind those bars?" And Thoreau said, "What are you doing on the outside of them?"
Ooh, way to call him out.
Boom. Yeah, he was a rebel.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how we got there, but you know, all that matters is Banksy of Tehran, like the rebels that were inspired by and the places that were born.
Yeah.
Were you always in Carolina?
Oh no. I'm an Air Force brat.
Oh, so you moved all over.
Yeah, my dad was in the Air Force, so yeah, I've moved all over. So I'm not really, when people ask me where I'm from, I go,
yeah, Earth.
Earth.
Earth is always a good answer.
Yeah.
Always accurate, and it reminds us that we're all part of the same human family.
A lot of times people can't place my accent.
Yeah, that is tough. It's Southern, though. You can tell it's Southern.
Yeah, I've lived in the South a long time, so it's been very hard not to pick up some things.
And why wouldn't you want to pick up a Southern accent? They sound great.
Yeah.
Oh no. Do you have time for your quote? You had a
I want to say this quote really quick. It was from Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society, and it's, "No matter what people tell you, words and ideas can change the world."
Wow. Words and ideas can change the world.
Yeah, and they do change the world. So
leave that in your brain tonight, fiends. We have to leave you tonight. But Michael Dean will be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's okay. There are archives at freedomfiends.com. If you didn't get enough tonight, just keep listening. Listen on a loop. It's the new hypnotherapy. And maybe your thoughts will change the world.
Yeah, just gotta express them.
Good night, Diana.
Good night, Derek.
Worms.
Worms.